This is the human highlight reel, the wrestling machine, pro wrestling's best kept secret, the rope to rope and pillar to post, best of the best, Austin Lane, and you are listening to the 123 Cents Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 143 of my 123 Cents, the podcast. So glad to have you on board for yet another show. And my guest this week is the best of the best, Austin Lane. He is an indie wrestler who has been around for 20 years now, and we get more into that into our interview. He has worked in both TNA and WWE, and he shares those stories. He is now kind of a mainstay and calls his home base, if you will, Cape Championship Wrestling, CCW, and he will actually be challenging for the Cape Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. He's facing Hollis Giroux in a ladder match. It's the very first time a ladder match has been held in Cape Championship Wrestling in its just over 1 year existence. It's coming up Saturday night, August 26th. It is called Homecoming 2, and all the information, the write-up and all, is on the Jittery Monkey page, jitterymonkey.com, so be sure to check out those details. And speaking of indie wrestling, Stride Pro Wrestling, which I am associated with as a ring announcer, is coming back on Saturday night, September 9th. A big show is planned for the Illinois Star Center Mall. I can tell you now that we do know that Jay Spade and J.D. Wilk will be teaming up against what is seemingly now a new tag team in Farmer Billy Hills and the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, Roger Mathis. Some bad blood between Farmer Billy Hills and J.D. Wilk after the last show. They lost their bid for the tag team championships. And, of course, Jay Spade winning that big match over Heath Hatton. It was last week's match of the week. He actually defeated Hatton and now goes on to face Roger Mathis for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. A day and time will be set very soon for that championship match. Looking forward to seeing that for sure. But again, you can check out all the information, get all the updates on Stride Pro Wrestling at the Stride Pro Wrestling's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. And it's all linked to strideprowrestling.com. Again, Saturday, September 9th. Also, by the way, tickets will be available for the October show where Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will be making an appearance. He will be a part of that event happening in Pinckneyville, Illinois. That's a fundraiser for the school up there in Pinckneyville. All the details for that currently on my123cents.com, but also will be made available through Stride again. The tickets officially go on sale September 1st, but they will be on sale on September 9th at that event happening at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion. Now, of course, SummerSlam is coming up this weekend as well. A big event, 6 hours, four of those, the actual pay-per-view, if you will, and then 2 hours of kickoff and pre-show activities. And I was going to talk more about SummerSlam on this podcast, but I realized today as I record this that SummerSlam is just around the corner, and I have not really done a whole lot of homework on SummerSlam. I'm behind my Raw and SmackDown watching, and I apologize for that, but I will have a blog, at least one blog up this week over on my123cents.com chronicling SummerSlam and getting fans ready for that, sharing my 123 cents, if you will, on that big event. Although I promised Chad that I would say this for him on his behalf because he came up with this and he's proud of himself. So you know how Chad is. Chad, I'm kidding. I know you're listening, so I'm giving you a little grief. But he wanted me to mention that the John Cena-Baron Corbin match set for SummerSlam is a dream match for Insomniacs. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes, and I will have, of course, everything written up over on my123cents.com. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to stay up late and watch all of SummerSlam. If you, most of you are, who are listening to this, are in the Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri area, you know the total solar eclipse is coming, and I am a journalist by trade, so it's going to be a long day for the TV industry here locally in Southern Illinois. So I have to get up my usual early time. I'm not able to take the day off. Normally on a big four pay-per-view, I try to take that Monday off the day after to stay up late and watch the show and review it on the podcast. That's not going to happen this month. So unfortunately, I'll have a write-up about SummerSlam, but probably won't have any thoughts on the podcast at all until much later after the fact. So be sure to check that out. Also, while I'm talking about checking things out, throw out a shout out to the other Jittery Monkey shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Of course, I just mentioned Chad. His show is called Positive Cynicism, and it airs right here on Jittery Monkey. He drops shows usually a couple of times a month. The very latest episode is episode 16, and the greatest performers that he has seen live and in person. So if you are a music fan, go check that out and let him know what you think of his top three, his favorite performers. Not necessarily his favorite artist, but he does put an interesting perspective on things. Of course, Greg Mahochko, the co-founder of JitteryMonkey.com, has two podcasts. The Five Heart podcast has been on a little bit of a hiatus because of the summer months, but it is a look at football and athletics, really, not just football, for Nebraska Cornhuskers. So Greg, a big Cornhusker fan, and I would imagine now that football season is upon us or very close to being upon us, he will start having some new episodes coming up very soon, again, on the JitteryMonkey.com website. You can check out Jittery Monkey on Facebook and Twitter as well. And also, there's Nerds United, and Greg has new shows just kind of randomly, sporadically, but his very latest episode is episode 80. Be sure to check that out, too. It is JitteryMonkey.com. And, of course, right here, also, My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Glad to have a home here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Now, get ready. Stay tuned for Austin Lane. And then on the other side of that interview, we'll have this week's Match of the Week.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, as promised, the guest on the podcast this week is Austin Lane, the best of the best. And Austin, thanks so much for joining My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. I mean, I've always been into the podcast. I love listening to the podcast constantly. And, you know, you guys opened my eyes to the 1-2-3 Cents podcast, the 1-2-3 Cents podcast when you had on Asa Gray and Dalton when they were on there. And I listened to the podcast and I'm like, wow, this guy is awesome. It's so entertaining. And it's an honor for me to be on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I honestly appreciate that. Yeah, I met the Podzilla 1985 guys at a Stride Pro Wrestling show over here in Southern Illinois a while back and kind of started listening to all their podcasts. They have several. And I've been to a few Cape Championship Wrestling matches. Austin, by the way, calls his home base, if you will, Cape Championship Wrestling, and they have some great matches and entertainment on Fight TV on the app, so you can check them out. But Austin, the very first Cape show I was at was actually Homecoming last year, which was in August, and you wrestled in the main event against Ricochet. So I want to talk about that match, obviously, but before we get there, what got you into the business? How long have you been wrestling, and who did you train with?
Oh, you're really going to make me feel old now. this October will actually be 20 years. Wow. A lot of people don't realize that, especially with my style and as athletic as I am at my age. People don't realize that I've been in it that long. I grew up a wrestling fan. I loved it. I mean, watching on TV, I was the guy that would flip back and forth between Nitro and Raw every single week. I'd watch every week. I watched Memphis Wrestling in the mornings. I remember NWA Wrestling on TBS, the Friday Night Power Hour. I mean, huge wrestling fan growing up. My grandma, I remember Saturday mornings waking up early and sitting in front of the TV, and while everyone else was watching cartoons, I was watching wrestling. And we watched it together, and then I believe it was right around, I think it was 17, this would be 18, when the first time, this is a strange story, and then people find it pretty fascinating. But when at that age, there was a guy that was in from my hometown that wrestled, and I didn't know this, but his son had like picked on my little brother, and you know, the big brother kind of thing. You know, I took care of it and kind of got into a little scuffle with him. But when I got into a scuffle with him, the guy was even bigger than I was.
Oh, wow.
But when he got into a scuffle with him, I kind of choked him out. And I choked him out because I wasn't trying to, like, you know, rough him up, beat him up kind of thing. I was trying to calm him down and just teach him not to pick on my little brother. But I choked him out. And then his dad, who was a wrestler, a guy named he wrestled as Gene Tracy. He actually came down there, and instead of, you know, being angry at me, he kind of asked me. He's like, you know, where did you learn that? And are you interested in actually getting into a ring and wrestling?
Oh wow!
Yes, and so it was crazy back then, and I. Technically, I still train. I mean, I'm still learning as I go. But I went to a little town called Dixie, Arkansas, that had, I believe, even the population sign said 74 people.
Oh, wow.
Yes, there's a building called the Dixie Dance, which has been torn down now. But a lot of guys in the Mid-South are some of the best workers in the business, actually started in that building. But anyways, in that building, I started on a Friday night tearing down the ring, took down the ring, cleaned the building, that kind of stuff. And then the very next night on a Saturday, they were shorthanded. I borrowed a pair of tights, a pair of boots. They put me in the ring, said, here you go. And I continued to train as I went along. You know, I paid my dues. I did all that. But right off the bat, I mean, as soon as I stepped foot in the ring, I fell in love with it. I mean, and I've gone and taken, and you know, I took the training that I got, like, from Gene and then a gentleman named Jay Murdoch and Tico Murdoch. I took that training, and then I went and got polished up by Rodney Mack, by Jerry Lynn, who I credit with teaching me more about the business than I could ever, you know, that I could ever even explain. But that's how I got into the business, and that was, this October will be actually 20 years ago.
Wow. So I, you know, don't feel old, because my career actually started 20 years ago this November. So we're in the same boat. I suspect I'm a bit older than you too, though. But so you mentioned, you know, you used the phrase at your age in the things that you do. Do you wrestle any differently than you did, say, 20 years ago, or as you've progressed, have you had to change anything?
Yes, like when I first started in the business, it was pretty much bump and sell kind of thing. And as I got, you know, as I learned more offense and I went and got polished up. And each time I learned new things, like Rodney Mack taught me a lot of shoot holds and how to make the shoot holds look realistic without killing the guy. Jerry Lynn taught me how to tell a story. And, you know, when I first was going into it, I remember wrestling for the first TV show I wrestled for was a little company called Rampage Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the guy, you know, I was, you know, maybe a year, 2 years in the business. And my whole deal was I would find the biggest or the tallest area in whatever arena we were at and jump off balconies. It was kind of like an ECW style back then.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of a Mid-South ECW. And that was my claim to fame back then. And then over as the years progressed and I learned to tell stories, and now I don't really know if I have a style, because I'm, you know, Jimmy Hart told me that the reason he loved the way I work is because I could work anyone's style. I can step in the ring with a Roger Mathis and we can go out and brawl. Or I can step in the ring with Ricochet or Marco Stunt and we can fly all over the place. Or I can step in the ring with someone like Chris Jericho and have a technical, you know, masterpiece in the ring.
And that's obviously where you get the moniker Best of the Best. And you know, you mentioned some big names there, but you have been an extra with WWE.
Yes.
So tell me that story. And then also, I want to talk more about your experiences with TNA, but start off with WWE. And how do you go from wrestling or training in a town of a population of 74 to then working for the biggest company in the world?
Well, believe it or not, at the time when I started to do extra work for WWE, I was formatting and writing and booking TV for Nightmare Ken Wayne. Mm-hmm. Of course, you probably remember the Nightmares, Dan yeah. Davis and Ken Wayne.
Yeah.
Well, he was running a television show. It was live to tape, and we ran it just like WWE because we were working with the Brooklyn Brawler, and one of the guys who was one of our main guys that was not even a wrestler. He was doing announcing. He managed. He did refereeing, and he was an announcer. Was Downtown Bruno or Harvey Whippleman?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and with Ken, you know, Ken got a lot of guys, you know, shots with WWE, and so did Bruno. Bruno made the call and actually got me a extra work for WWE. So I went to I worked at several shows. I was seeing one segment. I was actually a druid a couple times for the Undertaker.
Oh wow!
Yes, and I actually got to do a magazine photo shoot as a druid with him, and then I also in one segment when they were doing the celebrity guest host a Raw,
uh-huh.
The one with Cedric the Entertainer, I was one of the football players coming out of the limousine.
Oh, you're in the limousine.
Yes.
Poker Face is in that too, right?
Absolutely. Me and Poker Face were actually traveling. We actually was traveling together.
I think he just posted that video not too very long ago on his Facebook page, and I watched it. I'll have to go back and look at it again. I recognize Poker Face coming out of there, but that's awesome. So how does that has to be a surreal experience going from wrestling and you know some of these smaller venues to you know you are working with the Undertaker, who is one of the biggest legends in the business.
Absolutely. If not, I mean the Undertaker. I mean. Arguably could be considered the biggest legend in the business. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the amount of time that he has been in it and what he's done for the business, you know, did he draw like Hogan? No. Did he draw like Cena or in the titles like Cena or Flair? No. But I mean, the locker room leader, it's one of the things that I pride myself on is being the locker room leader. So Undertaker was one of the guys that I really looked up to, not just in the ring, but being a leader to the locker room, being one of the boys, and just the way he treated people. Because I mean, the Undertaker, I got to work, I got to do the little stuff with the Undertaker, and just being around him, you know, I mean, you learn so much. I mean, and he's such a nice guy, and it was a surreal experience when you show up there and you see these guys larger than life, guys that have made it in the business to a point where they're making a great living for themselves and being able to, you know, work with them, you know, to help put on, you know, whatever segment or whatever show. It was a surreal experience for me.
Absolutely. And so you actually then did some in-ring work with TNA and wrestled some of the biggest stars in the business, not just in TNA, but in the business as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I got to step in the ring with AJ Styles. I actually, it was a we were working for a little company called Down South Championship Wrestling. I'm sure you probably heard the name thrown around.
Yeah,
but I got to work with Kevin Nash, AJ Styles, Sonny Siaki, Felix Skipper, David Young. You know, a lot of the guys that were, you know, a lot of the TNA originals, quote mm-hmm. unquote. And then also, you know, like I got the chance to work with Kevin Nash, and that was an unbelievable experience in itself.
So,
but I got to do all that, and I mean, it really, I've always stayed humble, and I was really young in the business when I even worked for them, but it was kind of an eye-opening experience to learn the difference in going into like an independent show and going out there and busting your butt for $30, $50 or whatever, and what it's like to tell a story. And at that time, what really taught me at that time was how to preserve your body and to be able to do what you do 5 nights a week rather than 1 to 2 nights a week.
Absolutely. And I would imagine, you know, because I thought, and I'll go back and take this full circle to the first time I saw you wrestle in person, and that was at that homecoming show in Cape Girardeau, last August, and it was against Ricochet. I didn't realize at the time what a pedigree you already had, though, being in the ring with AJ Styles and being in the ring with Kevin Nash. So was that as surreal a moment? I mean, you guys put on a hell of a match, but it sounds like, you know, by this point you're 19 years into your career at that match. So was that still an exciting and fun experience? Had you wrestled Ricochet before?
No, I've never had a chance to work with him before. And it was a very surreal experience for me. And every time I go out there, I'm going out there to steal the show. I'm going out there to tell a story and to put on a match that people will go home and be able to tell their grandkids about later on. You know, and the strange part was about, I guess it was probably about 4 years ago now, I actually had to retire from wrestling because of a neck injury in back. And with, you know, the grace of God, a couple of years after that, you know, I'd healed up to a point to where I was able to do it again, to get back in the ring, get back in the business, just not as often or as, you know, full time as I was. Mm-hmm. So when I got, this is actually how it all came together with the Ricochet. I was one of the millions of people who seen the Ricochet Osprey match and the spots that they did. So I was a fan of his work anyways. And then Jason Wells, who owns Cape Championship Wrestling, had called me up and he asked me, you know, he'd been trying to get me to come work for him before. And, you know, just timing kind of thing, which just never worked out. So he asked me if I would be willing to step in the ring with Ricochet, because he even told me, he's like, there's only one guy around here that I think can do what he can do and not go out there and, you know, have him slow down or have him kind of hold back a little bit. Somebody that can get in the ring with him and tear the house down. And he, you know, he asked me if I was up to the challenge. So it was real surreal for me, because at this point, 19 years in business, I'd already, you know, had to retire once because of my neck. You know, it was kind of a, can the old man still keep up with, you know, one of the best and brightest stars in wrestling in the world? You know, could I keep up and could I go out there and hold my own? And, you know, I even had people coming up to me before the match, you know, the weeks before the match, and even all the way to the day of the show, saying, you know, hey, you know, Austin, you think you can keep up with this guy? I mean, this kid's good. Mm-hmm. You know, do you still have it? You know, do you still have it in you? Do you still have gas left in the tank? You know, and that was my moment where I even told myself beforehand, if I can't keep up, if I don't have the gas in the tank to continue to be the best of the best, then I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, that was actually at the end of that night, if I'd went out there and tanked, if I'd went out there and couldn't hang with a guy who was considered, if not the best wrestler on the planet, one of the, mm-hmm. So, you know, I was 100% content with, if I went out there and couldn't keep up, if I went out there and couldn't hang with him, I was content in that being my last match ever.
Wow.
And yes. And so it was surreal, so surreal to me when we first, I mean, from the opening bell to the very end, I mean, the reaction we got, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was so surreal. With all the stuff I've done, it's one of the greatest moments I've ever experienced inside a ring.
That's awesome. You certainly hung with him. That I can attest to that. So that takes us now to Homecoming 2, which is just coming up on August 26th. And you have found yourself now in a championship match taking on Hollister Giroux. And how do you gear up for that? Because this is also, not only is it a championship match, this is the very first ladder match in Cape Championship Wrestling. I'm assuming you've done ladder matches before?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've done plenty of ladder matches, and I've learned from one of the best ladder match wrestlers in history, and Jerry Lynn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be a moment for the ages. I'm always one of those, I'm kind of like Shawn Michaels was. When it comes to the big moments, when it comes to the big matches, I'm going to step up and I'm going to, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before kind of thing. Just because I can.
Uh-huh.
And this one right here, I take it in the pride, and I'm going to be able to say at the end of the night, you know, win or lose, that I'm going out there to tear the house down. The fact that it's the first ladder match in CCW history, I'm going to take that and put that, in the back of my head, and I'm going out there with a guy as talented as Hollis Giroux is, and I'm going out there to steal the show.
I definitely think, based on your previous performances, you will certainly be able to do that. Do you worry? And I know you said you trained with Jerry Lynn in terms of the ladder matches. You've had them before. But, 20 years into this now, do you worry about these types of more high-profile, high-risk types of matches?
Absolutely, yeah. With the ladder match especially, as much as you train and say, I can make my body do this, or when I bump, I can do this, the ladder doesn't care.
Right.
The ladder is going, it's chaos. It really is. When they coined the term that it's a demolition derby, it really is. I mean, because even a scientific fact, and you can actually look it up, your body taking a regular flat back bump, the impact on your body, just from that, not counting a ladder, not counting either falling on a ladder or falling from a ladder, just standing still, taking a flat back bump is the exact equivalent of the impact on your body as if you were sitting and took a, it was in a car crash at 35 miles an hour.
Mm.
It's the same exact impact onto your body as that. So just even the ladder match, it's going to up the ante, and I know that you got to worry, but you can't worry. You got to know that the threat is there, but the more you worry, if you worry too much, you're going to go run out there and end up hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have it in the back of your head without, affecting what you do in the ring.
Absolutely. And how impactful are the fans when it comes to Cape Championship Wrestling? They have big crowds and very supportive groups of fans that are coming out to these shows. So obviously you're one of the favorites there. And I would imagine that plays a role, whether you're in Cape Championship Wrestling or anywhere else. That crowd support is so imperative.
Yes, so much. And that's the reason I'm not one of the guys that are going out there just for the money. I'm not one of the guys that goes out there for the fame. I go out there for the fans. The fans are the reason why I put my body through what I do. The fans are the reason why I travel and wrestle in different states and wrestle different places. They're 100% the entire reason. I mean, it's not the 0% is it anything else. It's not the fame. It's not the money. It's the fans. I go out there. I'm a storyteller. I go out there and I put my body through what I do for the fans. And that is, it's not just a big reason. It is the only reason for me. And the fans, especially at Cape Championship Wrestling, but everywhere. But at Cape Championship Wrestling, especially the crowd in that Midwest area, and I experienced the same thing when I was in Illinois wrestling in Illinois. And I hear the same thing about the crowds, like at Stride. The crowds in that area are the best, in my opinion, the best fans in the world. Just by when I go out there and I hear this is awesome, or I go out there and I hear you deserve it, or whatever chant it is, when the fans are getting into it, that makes me step the game up even more. I may go out there and be putting on a 4.5-star match. That crowd is what's going to make me push it to a 5-star match.
And tell me a little bit about, you brought up 4-star, 5-star matches. What are your thoughts on the critics out there as far as like the quote unquote dirt sheets that rate matches and rank them? And, it seems like anyone who has access and, myself included, we can have blogs and podcasts and whatnot. Do you as a professional wrestler take these things that are written or voiced about on shows like this to heart, or do you kind of listen? And because you mentioned you do listen to podcasts, so how much of what is the fan's perspective, if you will, plays a role in the development of a professional wrestler, would you say?
To me, it plays a huge role because I take it to heart, but not so much that it like negatively affects me. I'll take it. I'll listen to, you know, a critique of it, even my, you know, my match or even other matches. You know, you got to know, the only way you're able to know what works is to know what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And everyone, I take everyone's opinion that I hear. If you watch my match and you like it for this reason, or you don't like it for this reason, someone else may love it for the same exact reason that you hate it for. So you've got to know what the crowd, you know, what they're buying. You know, you got to know what they're, what when you're serving the food, you got to know what they're eating, and what, you know, if you're taking, and if you work at a restaurant and you're making different kinds of burgers, some people are going to like these kinds of burgers, some people are going to like these, but you got to know what they like about it so you can create an even better burger.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in a situation where you're in the ring and have to kind of call that audible? The crowd just isn't responding to what you and your opponent are doing and kind of cater it to more of their liking, or do you get in there and kind of stick with what you have in mind?
No, I'd like to get a little game plan, but I'm able to change it on the fly, and I'm going to change it. The Ricochet match, we changed some of it in the ring because of what the crowd, the very beginning of the match was supposed to be flips. You know, he flips and flops and flies. I flip and flop and fly. But the crowd was reacting to them, reacting to what he was doing, more so on the flips than what I was doing. So I was reading the crowd. They were enjoying it, being the heel at the time. I decided to take that away from them. So then I started, you know, grinding him. I snap married him. Asked the crowd, "You want to see something cool?" And I dropped and gave him a headlock. I mean, I changed that match on the fly. Every match that I'm in, I don't think I've ever actually gone out into a match, called everything, and stuck to it, because I'm going to, even if it's not changing a spot, maybe it's changing the time that I'm spending selling a certain move. You know, I may sell it longer or get up and feed quicker, depending on how the crowd's reacting. So, I mean, I've changed, I don't know how many matches I've had over the years, but I've changed every single one of them. One way or another, I've tweaked it here or changed it completely in every single one of them.
That's awesome, and I think that's the true sign of a professional and a veteran. And, you know, I don't say veteran, you know, to mean anything offensive, because I know sometimes people associate veteran with older, but obviously you have got so much experiences both in the indie level with Cape Championship Wrestling and beyond that, and working with WWE and TNA. You also, and I hope you don't mind me asking about this, your wife Nikki Lane also is a wrestler. So what kind of dynamic is that when husband and wife are both wrestling, and do you do a lot of the same shows together?
Yeah, we work nearly all the shows together. And Nikki is a very talented wrestler also. I mean, she was trained and polished by Jazz, former WWE Women's Champion. And, you know, between Jazz and myself, it's a crazy dynamic. I mean, I love my wife to death. I mean, she's my best friend, and I wouldn't change anything in the world for everything that, you know, we've gone through and done together. We work together. She does feel a lot of pressure at times, being my wife, especially whenever she has to follow one of my matches. I usually hear about that. But, you know, she's really great in the ring also, because of the fact that she knows that I can help her tell a story. Like at the believe it was 2 months ago when the show where I wrestled Marco, and we wrestled in the first match, and people were calling it match of the year already.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki and Little Bit were the second match. And like a lot of the stuff that they done in the ring, I helped, you know, to paint the picture for them. You know, I helped come up with different ideas. And Nikki, as well as, you know, a little bit, both of them, I mean, I consider, you know, a little bit, I always call her my wife number two, and she calls me her second husband. You know, just because it's, you know, it's like a wrestling family. You know, I love them girls to death, and man, they work so hard, and they're so good in the ring, so underrated. I mean, people don't realize how good both of them are. We had a show, I believe it was about 2 or 3 years ago. It was called Clotheslines for Cancer. It was for a lady with breast cancer in Tuckerman, Arkansas, which is not far from where we're at. And the main event of that show was the women's match.
Oh, wow.
And the guys went out there and, you know, had awesome matches. And it is, I wish I had the video for it so that you could see it. But the match that Little Bit and Nikki had is, in my opinion, the best independent wrestling women's match I've ever seen. The only women's match I would say would have been better than them was probably the Bayley Sasha match that they had at the TakeOver that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Those girls went out there, went for about 30 minutes, and wrestled hold for hold. They brawled. They did it all, and the most they had, they stole the show over all the guys out there. And a little bit, Nikki had probably the best independent women's wrestling match I've ever seen.
That's awesome. Now, we've seen on some indie shows and in some indie companies, Chikara Pro, for example, Kimberly was their champion for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wrestled a woman, or have you ever wrestled Nikki? And if the opportunity ever came, would you do that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've wrestled both Nikki and Little Bit. We wrestled for a customs wrestling company together for years, and it's straight wrestling, and it was mainly a women's wrestling company. Mm-hmm. But I wrestled on it against other girls, and I'm not one of the type that, you know, are big headed and, oh, I'm not going to put a girl over. That's crazy, because women can do anything a man can do, and that's just honest to God truth. Yeah. I would wrestle any girl. Nikki had the chance. She's wrestled Sasha Banks. She's wrestled Jessica Havoc, Veronica Fairchild. I mean, all these different talent, including Kimberly.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And for this company, you know, we filmed the matches and everything, and they were awesome wrestling matches. I had no problem wrestling a girl. Would never have a problem wrestling a girl. A lot of times, a lot of places, a lot of promoters don't want to see, you know, they won't book it because they don't think that people would buy a girl and a guy wrestling. That hopefully over time will change, because it's still a sexist opinion, because mm-hmm. a girl can do anything that a guy can do, and some things they can do better.
Yeah. And I've had Farmer and Sarah on before, and we've talked about that very issue as well. So it's an interesting perspective and an interesting insight, and I appreciate you sharing that. Obviously, the big show coming up on August 26th, that is in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, capewrestling.com is where you can get tickets. But how can fans find you online, Austin?
Well, you can find me. I'm on most of the social media platforms. You can find me on Facebook. I got a Facebook page, the Best of the Best Austin Lane. On Instagram, it's The Real Austin Lane. And on Twitter, it's at Austin Lane, the number one. So it's at AUSTINLANE, the number one.
And I'll have all those links in the write-up here on jitterymonkey.com. I got to ask you one last thing. How confused do people get sometimes with you and Lane Austin, who is referee for Cape Championship Wrestling? Do people do that or not? Is that a thing?
The only time people really have it, I mean, have you seen Lane Austin? I mean, the guy's got tree trunks for arms. Yeah. He looks, you know, he's got good looks. I definitely don't have that. He's a lot younger than I am. They don't really get us mistaken as far as in person. You go to tagging on Facebook, and yeah, sometimes people have a little trouble with it. But Lane is, I mean, he's an unbelievable, you know, him. That's the best refereeing group that I've ever worked with. And I've worked with Sticks and Bones, Robert and Justin King, who worked for WWE and TNA. Those brothers are twins, really good friends of mine. Love them to death. But Kelly, Lane Austin, and CeeLo Banks, I mean, that right there is like the very best refereeing crew you could ask for.
Yeah, you guys absolutely have an amazing crew, top to bottom. You know, and I know Ken and I know Jason, and you guys do great work over there. And I really, unfortunately, I will be on vacation for the 26th, but I am definitely hoping to make it back over before the end of the year for another show.
Absolutely, yeah. And I you know, one of these days, hopefully you'll be able to see me pop up in Stride too.
Absolutely. I will talk to my friends over here, and we'll have to make that happen. Austin, thank you so much for being a part of my 123 Cents the podcast. Any last words?
No, not really. I just thank you everyone for supporting, you know, not only just the podcast, but supporting wrestling in general. I mean, come out to make sure to buy your tickets, go out to your shows, no matter what show it is, whether it's Glory Pro or Stride or Cape Championship Wrestling or whatever show it is. Just make sure you go out and support those guys and go out there to have a good time. Don't sit on your hands. Go out there and have a blast. Enjoy the show, because when you enjoy it, we're going to enjoy performing it for you.
Absolutely. Very well said. Again, Austin Lane joining us here on My 123 Cents, the podcast. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Match of the week. It is my guest, Austin Lane, his match against Ricochet. We talked about it in this podcast. Go check it out. It is on YouTube, but I have added the link to jitterymonkey.com as well. I try to keep match of the week within the same week of what I'm talking about. And this match actually happened on August 27th of last year at Homecoming 1, so be sure to check it out. We're pretty darn close to it. And Homecoming 2, don't forget, is coming up on Saturday night, August 26th. You want to check that out, as well as Stride Pro Wrestling. We are back on Saturday, September 9th. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening, and be sure to check out my123cents.com, and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.